Coming up on the What's Swinging My podcast, I'll be chatting with my man Terry on all things NBA Finals. We're going to give you our reactions to the Warriors winning their 7th NBA championship, the 4th in the Curry era. And we're also going to be talking about the Boston Celtics, Jason Tatum, got an interesting discussion around him. And we're going to be talking about the future of the NBA for next season. And we talk about Curry's legacy and anymore. It's basically all NBA talk right here. So let's go.
He's a four-time NBA champion, a two-time league MVP, a member of our 75th anniversary team, and for the first time ever, he's an NBA Finals MVP. The 2022 Bill Russell NBA Finals MVP Award goes to Stephen Curry.
Yeah, I need it.
Because I got a really big team, and they need some really big rings. They need some really nice things. Better be coming with no strings. Better be coming.
All right, it's the day after the finals. It's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon as we're recording this. You're listening to the What's Swinging My podcast. I'm your host, Driz, and I got with me Terry House to talk the finals. What's going on, Terry?
Hey, how you doing today?
Chilling, man. It's a bleak day for me, man. You know, I was going for the Celtics. I thought they was going to get it done in 7, but fell short.
My prediction was correct?
Yeah, you was right, yep.
Said Warriors in 6.
Yeah, it was a bad day. So we could just flow like this. We could talk about game 6 first, and then we could just talk about the series as a whole. What are your reactions from last night?
Me and you was kind of talking it up a little bit, chatting it up a little bit last night as the game was going on. For a good minute, it just seems to me that the Celtics didn't really make any adjustments. And I'm sure that they did. You make a small adjustments game to game. But just from the outside looking in, it didn't really seem like the adjustments were working if they did make any. But it was hard for me to kind of pick out the adjustments. And it's almost, to me, it seemed like they thought game 6 was going to fall in their lap because they was home. Shots were going to be falling.
They got out to that 14-2 lead.
Yeah, like they just kind of thought the game 6 was going to be handed to them, sort of, kind of. And it didn't work that way. Like the Warriors came out even stronger than game 5 after the 14-2 run. The Warriors started hitting a couple shots. Klay, Curry, Wiggins, like everybody kind of hit a couple shots here and there. And after a while, like, the momentum just completely swung the Warriors' way. And the turnovers, man. I'm sure everybody's saying the same thing about the Celtics' performance. But the turnovers were bad. And for someone who, like, constantly watches basketball, to me, the Celtics were just soft. Can these be called fouls? Yes. On a college level, high school level, most likely those are going to be called fouls. At the NBA level, the finals, like, refs going to let something slide. And the Warriors were basically, like, getting their hands in every pocket they could. Every time someone dribble, every time somebody shoot, the Warriors are trying to get their hands in their pockets. And they were just able to deflect the ball out their hands, knock it out their hands, hit it towards another teammate, and it was just turnover after turnover after turnover, and the Warriors just capitalized on it.
Yeah, no, it was – the turnovers were, like, really bad. I'm going to give you a stat. Jason Tatum had 100 turnovers the whole playoffs. That is the most in NBA playoffs history.
Wow.
It was – I think Jaylen Brown, he had about 5 last night. I'm pretty sure Tatum had about 5 too. Marcus Smart – they just all, and it was just a constant thing. Like you said, it didn't seem like no adjustments were made. A couple of my reactions from the game. This was definitely one of the better Draymond games of all of his finals, playoffs career. Like you said, poking the ball, just being active. It was just numerous times where they would show the replay of him just smacking the ball as soon as the player would go up or like catching it in the block area. And it was just like him just making plays and getting the ball out. Curry, one of his, like, another defining game. He already had one. He'd been spectacular the whole finals. But game four when he dropped 43, and then this game when he dropped 34, like, it was just another defining moment. That third quarter, he was just bombing threes on him. It just felt like he knew if he just do a couple more blows, a couple like heavyweight blows, this was just gonna knock everything out of the Celtics. And that's what it did for a majority of like the game. And then Boston, it just, their problems that they need to work on the offseason just really came out, just flared. Like you said, they were solved. They was getting out rebounded. Grant Williams was coming in the game, didn't do anything. The bench had 5 points. They were a negative 64 for that game. Derek White, he gave you little to nothing. It was just, you couldn't get anything from the bench. Robin Williams, he's giving you his best effort defensively. Hustling on every play, knocking shots away. Jaylen Brown was doing what he can to keep him in the game. But Tatum, he just couldn't overcome it. Like you said, they were just playing soft. They just looked real soft. The adjustments wasn't there. Marcus Smart, him and Tatum really just showed out to me to have like the worst of the games. Grant Williams too, just because he played a good amount of minutes, but he just had like no effect off the bench. But Marcus Smart, with him, it just seemed like he just played with like a lack of effort at times. He was just giving up switches, giving Al Horford. This is Defensive Player of the Year, and he's putting Al Horford on the island against Curry. It was just real bad all around.
Mm-hmm.
So
and for people that didn't watch the game, you have to go actually watch the game, because the numbers are deceiving. Sometimes, and at least for the NBA Finals, there were times where numbers look okay. Like Marcus Smart numbers probably look okay from last night. But if you actually watch the game, like Jared said, like the effort sometimes, and I'm sure he was tired. I mean, this man, Defensive Player of the Year, his job is to guard Curry. It's game six. He plays 30 plus minutes. Like, I'm sure he was tired, but it just, at those moments, you have to dig in, and you can't give up those switches. Like, you gotta stay home on a lot of those screens, and it wasn't happening.
Yeah, I think everyone they're gonna come away from just like the series as a whole, and we can start talking about that, is just the turnovers. It was just, I know we keep repeating it, but just the turnovers. Like, it was just careless plays, and it just, when Jaylen Brown, like when he's dribbling, like they all, like all the players, they just over dribble. Jaylen Brown, he's getting to the lane, doing too much. He's losing the ball. He's fumbling with it. He's getting poked. Jason Tatum doing the same thing, or he's just being so indecisive. It was like a couple times, like he seemed like off the catch, like he had a good shot, like a good, just, you know, pull up shot, catch and shoot. But then he was just catching it, holding it, doing too much. And he just kept doing the same thing. It wasn't working. He was doing the same moves the whole finals. It was not working. The little Euro step, they don't figure that out. Draymond Green was poking it. Steph Curry was poking it away, getting in rim. Like, he was looking for the contact, and it was just same thing. It was just like, how do you not just – and it's one thing, it's experience for sure. Warriors been there, done that. They know how to capitalize off that. Celtics could never capitalize off that. And they just kept falling to their own mistakes. And it just didn't seem like they didn't have that veteran presence to be like, hey – let's get into this offense. And it really showed me that they need a point guard. That's the main thing. They need a point guard, because Marcus Smart, like, he was just, like, he was fumbling stuff away. They needed a point guard to take advantage of when you have Al Horford with Steph Curry guarding Al Horford or things like that. You needed someone to get guys in good shots, and they just didn't have that. It just looked all ISO, all sporadic. They didn't know what they wanted to do. They looked flustered, and it just looked really bad.
I can agree to it. One thing I do want to bring attention to is the Warriors were second in the league this year in defense. Mm-hmm. I know it didn't really show in games 1 through 3. But from a basketball coaching standpoint, like, I was so impressed these last couple of games on the Warriors defense. Like, we know the Warriors play small ball, but just how you overcome being smaller than the other team. And a coach might tell you, man, just is effort, is effort, is effort. Yes, a lot of it is effort, but a lot of it too is knowing what to do. And a lot of times when a person dribbles or a person looks baseline or is sent a double team, when Draymond is guarding Robert Williams and Tatum throws up a shot, like, for the most part, Robert Williams will probably win that matchup, but the Warriors are sending the extra body at Robert Williams, so now it's two people boxing him out instead of one person boxing him out. Times where the Warriors know, like, hey, man, you got Horford, Grant Williams, and Robert down here trying to grab a rebound. Let's just tip it out instead of trying to actually grab the rebound. There was times where the Warriors was put three people in the lane and depend on them scrambling to the closeouts. Another thing that I want to bring out for the people, for the younger generation who listening to this podcast, like, look at the Warriors stunt. And so a lot of times, like, if Brown got the ball, Tatum got the ball, they got somebody in the help, hugging a gap. But it's not about that guy. It's about the help the helper. And the help the helper was incredible these last three games by the Warriors. When Tatum put that ball on the ground, person in the help side is there, and he got the easy kick out for a three. But the help the helper guy, that backline defense, is stunting on that shot. And a lot of times the Celtics, what seemed like an open shot, would hesitate on it because that help the helper would stun at them and kind of make them hesitate. And so it was a lot of, like, good defensive basketball, not just effort. The effort was there, don't get me wrong, but just a lot of, like, little small details on shortening the closeouts, the stunts, sending two people to help box out one person. Like, it was great defensive basketball. So I just want to point that out. And the other thing I want to point out too is Draymond kind of hit on it. But over the years, like, people kind of say, like, Curry this, Curry that defensively. But I think Curry has the ability to stand his ground. And is he the strongest guy out there? Is he still, like, the best defender, blah, blah, blah? No, he's none of that. But
crafty.
Yeah, one thing that I've seen this finals that I've never seen from Curry, and Draymond talked about how Curry has gotten stronger. He hits the weight room every day. Steve Kerr talked about it. But Curry looks bigger, and he looks stronger on the court. Like, there was times where Curry was actually playing, like, really incredible defensive basketball, defense. And I was kind of impressed. And there was times where he get baby or whatever. He's still small compared to a lot of people. But still, he was able to, like, stand on his own. And I was, like, really shocked. And so when you got your best player or your weakest link on defense buying in and able to stand on your own, like, that just gives the whole team a booster. So it's not like, oh, man, we got to help Curry out. There was times where Curry can handle his guy on his own. So it was, like, incredible to watch defensively.
Yeah, no, he played for sure. It was a bunch of times where Jason Tatum was, like, trying to back him down in the paint. And that was, like, a lot of where Jason Tatum turnovers was coming from, because he couldn't back him down like how he probably thought he could. Curry mm-hmm. on his ground. It was just Curry knew what he was going to do every time. So he'll try to go up, swing it, or do the little flailing thing like James Harden where he's trying to draw the foul. Curry was just poking it out every time, holding us to the ground. So moving on, a couple notes I want to run by you. And we can just go down one by one. First, Andrew Wiggins, he was former number one overall pick. Has he achieved his draft status? Like, has he achieved foregoing number one? Because for me, watching him, it was one of his best defensive performances. Like, he was locking up Tatum. Like, he just looked so strong against Tatum. Like, Tatum, another person, like, Tatum couldn't do anything with Andrew Wiggins. He was arguably probably, like, the Warriors' second best player during that finals. He was giving you steady production and guarding the best player on the other side for the Celtics. And then just look at what he did. He got, you know, he's an all-star this season. Klay came back. Everyone, his, you know, production dropped down and stuff like that. But, you know, it's a whole learning process with him, Poole, and Klay. They're all trying to battle him for minutes. And Wiggins, you know, still there, giving you steady production. And this finals, like, it just, he just did what, you know, he achieved. I feel like, you know, people was trying to call him a bust before, but I think he did a really good job of quieting the haters.
To answer your question directly, has he lived up to being a number one draft pick? I would say no to that, to that question. Just because the number one draft pick is normally a program changer. Like, they go to a sorrier team or a less developed team, and they pose a, like, change the organization around, change the program around. Does it always work out and they become like a championship program? No, not necessarily. But the your job is to, like, really change the program around. Like, all the value, all the stock is in you. And I don't necessarily think he was that for Minnesota. Did he help? Yeah, but, like, not as in, like, he's the number one draft pick. Like, everybody looking at Wiggins, all eyes on Wiggins, like, blah, blah, blah. I don't necessarily think he lived up to that standard. But has he developed to be a good player? And yes, like, over the years in Minnesota, he had some great years in Minnesota. He never was like a deadly 3-point shooter, but he can get his shot off. He can play defense. He can rebound, blah, blah, blah. So I'm not saying he was never a good player. I just don't think he ever lived up to being the number one draft pick. Now, to go with your statements about him, his role on the Warriors, I think he's been great for the Warriors. Kind of laughed that somebody made a tweet, like, during the season, how, like, he's like the Harrison Barnes for the Warriors,
right,
or whatever they said. I forgot the exact words, but he's been better than that. And I don't think he's arguably the second best player on the Warriors this finals. I think he was, without a doubt, the second best player for the Warriors in this finals, at least. And I mean, he led both teams, but I know for sure for the Warriors, he led them in blocks. He also averaged, I think, was 18-9 over the course of the finals.
Yep.
And he had some great performances throughout the finals offensively. And then defense was never – we never questioned his defense through the finals. I mean, we questioned the Warriors' defense as a whole the first couple games. But for the most part, like, Wiggins was there this whole final. So I think he has developed to be a good player. And I think this Warriors run has even taken them up to another level. Just being around a bunch of vets, being around a winning program, you're going to learn, you're going to grow. So I think his game has taken another step. But he got to develop a three-point shot, man. I mean, his three-point percentage is terrible compared to what you would consider a good catch-and-shoot shooter. Like, it's terrible.
Let me flip it. Would you say he has lived up to being, well, we know he's a number one pick, but a top pick to, like, of the sorts of, like, how, you know, Chris Bosh was a top pick. Mm-hmm. Top pick, but he turned around his game.
Chris Bosh was a fourth pick. What was Chris Bosh?
Yeah, he was like, around, what, like, four?
Yeah, I think he was.
So, like, a top pick. He was the leader of a franchise for a couple seasons. It didn't really pan out too good for him. They didn't really have too much success. Turned his game around, played with a better player in LeBron James, which would be Steph Curry in this case, and he became a overall great player. Like we both agree, second best player on the championship team. Like, lived up in that way.
I can see where you're going with that. But I'm trying to think of all the number one picks and okay, like, I'm going to just throw out a couple that I can remember off the top of my head. Who had a greater impact is, I guess, would be my question on their organization. Andrew Wiggins or Anthony Davis?
Anthony Davis.
Okay. Oh, here's a good one. Andrew Wiggins or Karl-Anthony Towns?
Karl-Anthony Towns.
And then go back to your boy, mm-hmm. Andrew Wiggins or D. Rose with the Bulls.
Oh, D. Rose without a doubt.
And so, and then another one that comes to my mind is like LeBron, Dwight Howard, and all them people. But so those who come to my mind, I'm sure there's some sorrier pick ones or whatever in the previous years, but those are the ones that like come to my mind right now. And I don't think Wiggins have ever even been on the same level as them as far as like living up to your name and changing the organization around. And so that's why I had said that I don't think he lived up to the standard of being the number one pick, but I'm not saying he's been bad. He's been a good player.
Gotcha. Okay. Second one I want to shoot at you. Is Steph Curry the best player in basketball right now? Did he win MVP? No, he was second in MVP last season. He had a down year, but was with the team, but still was second in MVP. Came back, had another great season, and they won the NBA championship. Is he the best player in NBA?
Ooh, you hit me with a tough question.
Another thing too, a little sub to this, because this is arguably probably one of the least out of all the championship teams, one of the least talented.
Who, the Warriors?
Yes. Like this team compared
to the past, what years?
Compared to their other championship years when they had a prime Klay Thompson that was locking, that could play great defense and actually get a shot off and look like he knew how to hit a jumper. You have prime Draymond Green that could hit shots for you, that could actually stretch the floor. They had bigs. Who else they had? They had that. They had Iguodala. Iguodala.
So prime wait, Iguodala. Wait, hold on. So you only comparing this Warriors team to the past Warrior teams, not the past like NBA champions?
Yeah, no, just the past Warriors teams. Okay, that's okay, one of their least talented, because two of them they had KD, so those automatically X'd out.
I think it's a toss up between this one and their first one. I mean, the first one, the starting five, I believe, was Curry, Klay, Harrison Barnes, Draymond Green, and Bogut. I believe was their starting five.
Yeah.
And you look at this starting five now, you got Curry, Klay, Wiggins, Draymond, and Porter started last night.
Yeah, Porter.
I don't know. That seems like a better five than that first five.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, okay. I'll probably at the end of the day, looking, you know, probably deep diving both rosters, probably I'll take this one. But that's what kind of like led me to the question of, is Steph Curry the best player in basketball? Because obviously this was like, and you could see it from, this was a hard earned championship for him. Curry, he has something to prove. That finals MVP monkey got it off his back. It meant something for him. It meant something for the whole team. Draymond, you know, is not what he used to be, but, you know, even though he played great in the finals, Klay definitely not what he used to be. And Curry, he was that offensive production for that team. And I'm just like, I can look at that. They won the championship. He was second MVP last season. It just all, is he the best basketball? We're going to come back to the question. Is he the best basketball player in NBA right now?
And it just, I mean, I guess everybody got their own opinion and what they look for when you ask a question like that, because some people look for dominance. Some people look for stats. Some people look for, does he have the best all-around game? Like, it just kind of depends.
I would say he kind of got all three of those things.
I mean, is he the most dominant player in the NBA right now? No. Is he the most complete player in the NBA right now? No.
You don't think he's dominant? I think he's still dominant.
I said, is he the most dominant player in the NBA right now? And I say no.
So who would you have as
he's not more dominant than Giannis.
I think because what Curry can do to you in those stretches where he can just bomb threes on you,
especially in those third quarters where he can just get hot and just demoralize a team. I think he's more dominant in that way. Cause he can literally just, I know with Giannis, he can, you know, dominate you, you know, just beating you up in the paint and stuff like that. But Curry is doing it on the perimeter and he's putting a lot of pressure.
I agree, but at the end of the day, if you want to go by numbers, at the end of the day, Giannis going in pretty much almost every finals game with 30 or more, whereas Curry, depending on the shot, which is shot not always falling, he'll have those 18, 20, 25 point games. Whereas Giannis pretty much in the finals, and we kind of seen it last year, like he's going to have 30, 40. Shit, he ended NBA finals on like a 50 point win or whatever. So, I mean, I don't know. I think Giannis is the most dominant player in the NBA right now, in my opinion.
Okay.
Most complete player. I mean, you could kind of take your pick. A lot of people right now is on the Joker train. He's a very complete player. I just don't necessarily – I probably wouldn't put him over Curry. Just – I don't know. He just he impacts the game. Don't get me wrong, but he's just so, like, slow and, like – I don't know. I mean, Denver can't get over the hump with him carrying Denver. So, I just – I don't think it's Joker, but I'm just saying, like, the majority right now will probably say Joker. And then a lot of people still on LeBron train. You got Embiid is in the picture now. So those two categories, I wouldn't outright say Curry is the most dominant or Curry is the most complete player. So it's just kind of like what you're looking for as far as like when you say the best player in the league. But Curry is in the conversation. I mean, like you said, he's been unbelievable his past two seasons. And, one thing I want to give him credit to that I wasn't a fan of, one of the reasons why I wasn't a fan of Curry was a lot of Curry points is off screens, either on ball screen or off ball screen. Mm-hmm. And is most of the time is a catch and shoot, curl, whatever. And he got a lot of those. Don't get me wrong. He still got a lot of those as finals. But I want to give him credit because I always say Curry didn't know how to create for himself. And what the Celtics forced him to do was create for himself. And there was a lot of times Curry, especially last night, he just didn't depend on his three. Like, he's driving to the lane, getting 2 points at the rim. And there was a couple times where he got a dribble pull-up in at the mid-range. So it was a lot of moments throughout these finals where he created and for himself, and I was like impressed because I never really seen that side of Curry. I always seen like somebody doing a dribble handoff to him, or he's coming around a Draymond screen, or he getting an on ball screen or whatever. But I seen a lot of moments, especially like the one on one with Al Horford with the mixed matches, like Curry created. So I was impressed by that.
Okay. I think I know, so you ain't gonna take it. I think I'm taking him as the best player in NBA right now. I think all those guys, you know, of course, they got to come back. They got to prove it. Giannis, he didn't restake his claim. You know,
Braun, he didn't have Middleton.
He didn't have Middleton for sure. For sure, that's definitely key. But
he gave it all he could. I mean, they went to a game seven with the Celtics.
He gave it all for sure. I'm gonna give it to him, but I think just with Curry just winning it this year, I think I gotta take that. I gotta take what Curry been doing the past couple of years to in consideration. Just look how he just dominated this NBA Finals. Like, he averaged 31, 6, and 5. You talked about his defense, how great he was with that. I just what he's doing right now, he's still just playing at a high level. And I agree. I don't disagree
with that statement.
I think all those other guys, you know, Kevin Durant, to LeBron James, you know, because who both still have great seasons. Like, KD averaged 30 this season. And, you know, I know a lot of people was taking their shots at KD and this and that, you know, and we're going to talk about KD in a bit. But all those other guys, they got to come back. Like, they got to come back. Joker, even though MVP again, he can't beat the Warriors. Embiid, still, you know, can't get over the hump, as great as he is. And it's just all those other guys, they just got to prove it. Curry's been proving it. He's a champion. He's a winner. But let's take a quick little break, and then we're going to get into the Celtics and some early predictions for next season. All right, so you just got done talking about Steph Curry, his performance, and the where he ranking in the current basketball right now. But what does this final MVP do for Steph Curry in your eyes for his career? Is he a top 10 NBA player now? Does this solidify him? Because I got a take for you. I think. Go ahead, you go first.
Okay, my bad. So, you know, me and you talked about the GOAT conversation plenty of time, top 10, top 15, top 25, blah, blah, blah. And Curry was never in my top 10. I think for this, for him getting the finals MVP, finally, I will put him in my top 10 of all time. He's not top five, but he's in my top 10 without a doubt of all time. If I had to make a list right now, he'll probably be like number 9 or number 10. But he's definitely in the top 10 for me.
Do you got a list right now?
No, but okay. I can tell you my top five, because my top five has never changed.
Okay, go ahead.
You have Bron, you got Jordan, you got Kareem, you got Shaq, you got Magic in those top five. I didn't say no order.
Okay, I got the same, except I got Bird instead of Shaq.
Okay, and see, my bottom five, I had Bird in my bottom five. My bottom five was Bird, Kobe, Tim Duncan, I believe it was Hakeem and Olajuwon, and then I believe it was Bill Russell, I believe, or Will Chamberlain, somebody like that.
I got Kobe, Duncan, Shaq, Wilt, and now Curry.
Yeah, and so the only difference in ours is the Hakeem, right?
Or did you say Hakeem? Yeah. So I, instead of like, because you had like Russell and Will, I think I got Wilt instead of Hakeem.
Okay. Yep. So Curry, for me, without a doubt now, is taking Bill Russell's spot. He's taking Will Chamberlain's spot. And from the 10 that I named, it was I can't remember Russell or Wilt who took the 10th spot, but it don't matter which one is it, Curry has now taken that spot for me. And the reason why Curry can't get any higher is
you say he can't or can
he can, okay, if he continues to win, but I'm saying currently he can't go any higher than number 10 for me just because of the accolades and the achievements that the other great ones have, like the multiple finals MVPs, the five NBA championships, the multiple NBA MVPs, things of that nature. It's the reason why Curry right now cannot be higher than number 10 for me. And to go along with that GOAT conversation, I also want to point out that for me, Magic has always been the number one point guard of all time. Mm-hmm. Now that Curry has a finals MVP, I think that Curry can be in that conversation. But
I think he's two. Where you got him at?
But I think it's a 1A, 1B, like a Jordan, LeBron conversation. You will have a lot of people say Bron over Jordan. You will have a lot of people say Curry over Magic. And I guess
for sure over IT, though.
Yes, for sure over IT. I just think the hold back from me putting Curry over Magic is the accolades, man. Magic led the league in assists, steals multiple years. He has a five-time NBA champion. He's been the NBA MVP like three times. He has like three finals MVPs. Like, he has a lot of accolades, whereas Curry is the greatest shooter of all time. Mm-hmm. Evolutionized the game, which Magic has too. Magic, because of Magic, we see a lot of big guards now. Yeah. But Curry evolutionized the game, greatest shooters of all time. Now he's a four-time NBA champion. He got a Finals MVP finally. He's
two MVPs.
Two regular NBA MVPs. So it's not to discredit anything Curry has done. I just think it's a personal preference now. And for me, I'm still going with Magic because of the accolades. But I think it puts him at that 1A, 1B, just like Bron and Jordan, where Bron has a lot of accolades to go with Jordan. But Jordan still has more than LeBron and a better finals record and all the other crap that people say. And I just want to put, even though we're not talking about LeBron, I just want to point this out there. LeBron level of competition that he has played, because I got an argument with my cousin about this.
Okay.
Jordan has never faced the level of competition that Bron has. So I just want to put that out there. Like, Jordan has never won against a KD and a Steph Curry and a Klay in a finals before. And if he did, they probably would have lost. Like, he has never done that. And so the...
Can I push back on that?
Go ahead.
For sure, he hasn't faced those type of players before, but... Because what I've come to, just to be my thing, is it's just a sign of the times. Like, there wasn't those type of players around. There wasn't a KD in that era where Jordan faced. But he did face some, you know, some great, you know, defensive teams and stuff like that. It just wasn't other type of level players that we see now. So something, like, I just can't hold that against him, even though definitely the level of competition is way higher now. But it's just a sign of the times. That's which, the only thing I would say.
Which I agree. Like, there was no 3-point shooters like a Curry or a Klay, or even if you want to drop it down a notch and talk about like the Tyler Heroes of the world and stuff. Like, they didn't have those things back then. But Jordan also didn't face like, and I guess I shouldn't have said like the Curry and the KD, which is true. He didn't face those players, but he didn't face. Like, I would go as far as saying he didn't face the best players in the league at that time in the championship. Like, he didn't go against I'm trying to think back. See, in the 90s, Jordan was in the East, the West.
He went against Charles Barkley, the Suns season, the Sonics. Gary Payne and them.
I would have to go back and do research, but I just remember having
Karl Malone and them.
I just remember having this conversation with my cousin and them, and I remember making that statement. But I need to go back and do my research. But anyways, Curry is top 10 for me now all time, and he's a 1A, 1B type conversation for me all time point guards.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely, I'll say for me, for him to move up, because I will argue that first championship, man, that was Curry's Finals MVP, man. That was they did him dirty giving it to Iguodala. But, you know, it is what it is. They gave it to him, but that's arguably Curry's. So that should be his second. Give him another one, though. I'll be ready to put him up there closer to that top five-ish. Six, seven-ish range. Like, I will put him over Kobe, put him over Shaq. Kind of, he'll be hovering around that, like that Magic Bird area for me. But anyway, we'll see how his career turns out. He still got a couple more years. They definitely are the all-time favorite to win it again next year. We'll see what he can do. So let's talk about the Celtics, because it just seemed like a promising team for them, promising season, like just the way they fought after the All-Star break, became number one defensive team in the league. They wanted to break up Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. They came together, they played, they figured it out. Marcus Smart elevated his game. They brought back Big Al. Everything just seemed to click, and it just seemed like this was their time. And they, like I said, I had them winning, but it was just – it wasn't like, you know, they're young, they're inexperienced, but I think just the biggest thing from it, we got to talk about him, Jason Tatum, and how he played. Because you could argue, literally, if he just played better, if he played to his potential, like the way he played against KD, the way he played against Giannis, they would have won. And he just didn't play to his potential. So what do we have left to say about Jason Tatum coming away from this NBA Finals?
I do want to clear the air on something I seen on Facebook. People was saying how he had more points than Dwayne Wade the year that Dwayne Wade won the NBA Finals. So I just want to clear air on that. It's all about context. Jason Tatum played more playoff games than Dwayne Wade did that year. And also, Dwayne Wade averaged 35 in the NBA Finals that year, whereas Tatum only finished with like 21, 22. So let's not start putting him in conversations he don't belong in. Wanted to clear air on that just because I seen it on Facebook. The whole Jason Tatum is arguably one of the best superstars in the league. Let's clear the air on that. He's not even top one, top two for players under 25, 25 and under. So let's clear air on. Let's clear air.
I gotta push back. Who's obviously Luka's number one, but who's better than him other than that?
John Morant is better than Jason Tatum. No. Without a doubt.
No.
Without a doubt.
I know. I disagree wholly.
I can't say this for sure because it's just an opinion and it probably won't happen. You replace John Morant and Jason Tatum with the Celtics. I'm not saying the Celtics would have won. That's not what I'm saying. It would have looked totally different. Because part of that too is because of the skill set. The skill set that John Morant has, Jason Tatum don't have. Like the elusiveness, the quickness, the ability to get past defenders and finish at the rim. And I think you put John Morant on the Celtics, he'll blend in smoothly.
It's different though, because that's literally what the Celtics needed. They needed a point guard. So, yeah, if you take away Jason Tatum, that will give more shots to Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, all these other players, because John Morant will be able to open that up for him. That's what they needed. But that's just what they've missed. So I can't make that argument. But with Jason Tatum, I feel like he's a more complete all-around player. He's definitely better defensively. Offensively, he's right up there. I know
I just want to say – it's easier to say that because he's 6'7". It's just pure size.
But I think he has a great skill set. Like he had a bad series, but overall, this whole finals run, like he was that guy. Like he was an all NBA player this season.
I never said he wasn't good. I just said I don't think he's better than Luka or John Morant.
Luka definitely for sure. He's not better than Luka, but I think he's better than Ja Morant. I think with Ja Morant, he had a great season. But from Tatum, he has a steady progression since he's been in the league as a rookie. He steadily progressed. He's got better. He's on an all NBA level right now.
Who you think game will be more impactful to really any organization, but if we was to switch the two, because we see Ja Morant has been successful with Memphis
but I don't think with Memphis, I don't think that's a successful, like take this year away. They just made the playoffs last season.
Ja Morant is only in his second year though, correct?
Yeah. But okay, Jason Tatum been doing this though since he's been a rookie. He was at Eastern Conference Finals and he was practically that leading scorer for that team in the Eastern Conference Finals against Bron, Game 7.
They definitely lost
in the Eastern Conference Finals though. Has John Morant hasn't been past the second round. Jason Tatum led his team to the finals. That is a
listen,
fact.
Listen, context is everything. Context is everything.
Yes, let's one, add context. Jason Tatum.
Celtics had a better roster. And two, the Celtics is in the East and not the West.
The East was arguably way harder this year.
Yeah, this year, but you're bringing up Memphis from last year and Memphis the year before that and all that other crap. So I'm saying if you go – last year or the year before that, the West was stronger than the East.
I see, though. We're going to keep pushing back on this because I just feel like
we can't. This was going to be my question to you. Because I'm talking about impact at this point, so not necessarily numbers, but if you was to switch Tatum and Ja Morant, who would be more impactful on their team? Could. Basically, what I'm asking is, could Ja Morant help the Celtics get to the finals like Tatum did this year? And can Tatum help Memphis get to the playoffs and do what they did this year? And they was, what, second in the West, third in the West for record-wise?
I think they will have about – I think Jason Tatum has the edge, honestly. Just because he just got his team to the finals, and it's not like he was – this series alone, he played bad. But other than that, he was a 28-per-game scorer this season. He's a two-way player. Ja Morant is not two-way. He's far from it. He began torched up. Like, and I think – I'm not trying to create excuses either, but it is something to – with his performance in the finals. The dude played 983 minutes. The leading guy in the playoffs. You know what highest on the Warriors was?
What?
792.
And that was Wiggins?
That was Klay. This man, like, I just think because – and what we was going to talk about was just his performance in the finals. I think fatigue got to him. You could see it late in games that he didn't have that extra push, that extra effort. But this man,
you can't be in the superstar conversation if you ain't got that though.
For sure, but I think okay for right now, I still think he's top 10 in the NBA right now.
Tatum,
yeah, I have him top 10 in the NBA right now.
Top five. Give me time to think.
Top five right now still.
No order.
Curry. Still think KD is up there. Still think Bron is up there. When healthy, Kawhi for sure.
Oh my God, this boy haven't played in 2 years.
Come on, they was just in the West Finals last season.
Without him,
they got there too because of him. And then he got injured.
Boy, I haven't played in 2 years.
It was one season, man. You gassing, man. You be hanging on Kawhi, man. I don't know why, man. Like, he's not great, man. Like, this man was on a – if Kawhi didn't get injured, the Clippers was going to win that championship. They was going to beat Giannis. Kawhi was playing at an all-time high, just like how he was in that run against
– Paul George wasn't.
Paul George was – he was hooping along with them, too. He was giving them 20.
No, Paul George didn't get off until Kawhi left, got hurt.
Yeah, he stepped up, but still, they would have figured it out because Kawhi was going to lead that. Like, they was easily about to beat the Jazz in that series.
All right, so you got Kawhi in top five. Well, I don't
see just it. Just in general, okay? Just, like, when healthy. This is all when healthy. No, okay. Just no order.
Okay.
Curry.
So, you got right now, you got Curry, KD, Bron, Kawhi.
Giannis.
There's five right there. All right, go your bottom five.
Now, I said Curry, right?
Yeah, you already said Curry in the top five. So
that's solidified. That five is not changing until something else changed me different. That's a solid top five because every season when them boys are healthy, they always put up and they always in that championship talk. Then you got the Jokers, the Embiids. Then who? That's seven right there. I can't.
Then when we talk about healthy, we already said Luka. We already said
Luka's up there for sure. Luka's
top
10.
And then if you want to talk about when healthy, Anthony Davis is better than Tatum when healthy.
I will agree. And then after that, I can't think of anybody else. I think Kyrie is like borderline top 10 too. I think it's like him and Tatum.
When healthy.
Cause who else the top scorers in the league right now? Guys like Bradley Beal, no, for sure not. Guys like DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, all them boys, definitely not. I can't think of anybody else better. Who's in the finals right now? Who's in the Jimmy Butler? Jimmy Butler's another one. I think it's you could flip those two.
Butler and Tatum.
Butler and Tatum. Then you got the Paul Georges. They're in that like 10 to 15 range. But I think Tatum is borderline. Well, not borderline. He's top 10 for sure.
No, we're talking about borderline because you just said that him and Butler can flip out at number 10.
I'm going to say, well, I'm
going to Kyrie when Kyrie's healthy.
Because I think Tatum, then it was like Kyrie, then Tatum. But I think it's, I have Tatum and Butler, then Kyrie, Paul George, then, you know, keep going down that road.
This is okay. I can see the argument there. Just throwing out something. I ain't trying to steer off from the original conversation, but if you had to choose between Tatum or Paul George or Tatum and Chris Middleton, are you still taking Tatum over those two?
I'm definitely taking Tatum over both of those two.
Okay.
Definitely over Chris Middleton. I think Chris Middleton, he's a great player, but he had a great run last season. But other than that, I don't think he's up to Jason Tatum level on both sides of the court. Paul George is tough because Paul George is basically Jason Tatum too, before Jason Tatum. But I just think Tatum has the edge. I think I'll take Tatum right now.
Okay, and then my other two were and would you take him over Karl-Anthony Towns?
Oh, for sure. Definitely taking him over Karl-Anthony Towns.
And then what about Vukovic?
Oh, Vucevic? Oh, yes, for sure.
Okay.
Those aren't winning players. Jason Tatum is a winning player.
Are we saying that because he's on the Celtics, or are we saying that because he'll win at any organization?
I think he could win on any organization. I think you put him, I think that's a franchise player you can build around. Yeah, that's what the Celtics have been doing these past couple seasons. They've been building around him, and every single season they've been in that right spot, competing for championships.
That brings me to my next note that I put. Do you think that the Celtics will put more value into Jaylen Brown? Now that we've seen what Jaylen Brown's capable of, he was obviously better than Tatum in, not in a playoff run altogether, but he was better than Tatum in the finals.
Yeah.
Do you think they will put more value into Jaylen Brown? Because Jaylen Brown was in trade conversations a couple years ago. Now is he untouchable for the Celtics? Like, they know now for sure that they're keeping Tatum and Brown together the rest of the way.
Yeah, no, I think you don't break that up. I think what they've shown this whole playoff run, this season as a whole, is they are that – They have a legit 1-2 punch. If Jason Tatum, who's going to get the most shots, who's the leader of the team, if he's not on, Jaylen Brown's going to be right there easily to pick up the slack, while also giving you 20 to 25 a game. But it's going to be led by Jason Tatum. I think what you do with them is you keep those two, and you got to get them a solid point guard. I feel like every time we did a podcast on talking about with the Celtics, it always was just they need a point guard. I know like last season, I think we floated around maybe Kyle Lowry or Chris Paul joining the team when they could have. That's all they literally need. Because Marcus Smart, he's a great player, great defensive player, but he's not a point guard. He's just not a point guard. He can't settle things. He can't get players in good looks. He can't, you know, break down the shots for them, making sure they're in the right position. He's not doing that for them. He can do it in spurts, but he can't do it for a whole game, and especially in the closing moments of the game.
Would you trade Marcus Smart for a point guard?
If I could get an upgrade at point guard, I really don't want to break up the team. Like, because I think, and we'll probably talk about it when, like, can they run it back? I think maybe just get a backup point guard, and that will help them out, and get like a better big to help down with Robin Williams. Somewhat, like, you got to get somebody bigger than Grant Williams, because he was just getting out rebounded that whole game. and throughout the series, and he didn't really have an impact for them on the boards. So they need someone that can help them on that department. You got the scores in Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. You got Marcus Smart, who's a great defensive piece. You keep Al Horford, even though he's going to be another year. We've seen what he can do for you in spurts. Just get them a backup point guard, but I wouldn't be opposed to trading Marcus Smart for an upgrade at the position if it comes down to it.
Because just thinking off the top of my head, the cheapest option you will have at point guard is Dragic. I think Dragic will be a free agent this summer. And I think with Brooklyn this year, his contract was, I think it was like $3 million. I think he was like a super cheap point guard this season, if I'm not mistaken, but he'll be So I was saying the Celtics, in order for them to get a point guard, I think they will have to give up a key piece. I think the cheapest option right now would probably be Dragic. I think for Brooklyn, he may be in a $3 million type of guy. But looking at the Celtics salary table, you're looking at Marcus Smart at about 16, 17. You're looking at Al Horford about 26, 27. So you're going to have to give up somebody who helped you make this finals run to get another a point guard, another key piece.
Yeah, I think, it's definitely going to be tough to break them up, but I think you got to keep Big Al. I wouldn't get rid of him, but I think not that Marcus Smart doesn't hold value. I just think with him, they just need to upgrade at that position. Like he played bad in that game six. He played bad. I'm not trying to just say that just suppose him not being doesn't have a spot for the team anymore, but it just showed drastically what they were missing. Like if you're going to get the best out of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, you need a point guard type player.
And I think you would disagree with me on this, but I'm willing to say that you keep Marcus Smart and you get rid of Derek White. I know you just got him, but I say get rid of him for more like a veteran piece, like a Rondo. I'm not saying they should go get Rondo. I'm saying getting a vet.
Someone like a Rondo.
Yeah, like a Rondo. You give a White for somebody like a Rondo and you keep Marcus Smart.
I think a player
White that White did hit some big shots, some timely shots. Don't get me wrong. He contributed.
He had some good highs, but then he had some bad lows.
Yes, these past couple games, he might as well not even play.
Yeah, I think I will definitely, if I can center around package of some of those low-hanging fruit like Derek White, Pritchard, or somebody just to get like a package for a point guard that I know can replicate like what I need, I would do it. But someone that I'd be willing to trade Marcus Smart for. And I always think that Celtics need to make a push for this guy. I think if you take DeJounte Murray from the Spurs and put him on the Celtics with Jaylen Brown and Tatum, he can play defense just as good as Marcus Smart. He was all-star player this season. He's shown that he can score, he can push the tempo, he can lead a team. Not necessarily lead the team, but he can be like that control the pace type of player for a team. That is somebody like that is who they need. And I don't know if it's a trade that they can form maybe around Marcus Smart to make that move, because you know the Spurs are basically going to be rebuilding. They're in rebuilding right now.
They want to rebuild around Murray and the younger.
Yeah, that's the tough part about it. Maybe like I don't know if the Celtics still got some of those top picks that they've been. I got to look into that because I feel like they still do got like one more top pick, or if it is, it's probably gone this season. But if it was a trade, I would do it for DeJounte Murray.
I was about to make a statement on the Murray part. But all right, never mind. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I had thought you was getting ready to say Kyle Lowry, and I was going to say as bad as Kyle Lowry played for the Miami Heat in this last series, I don't think I would rather have Marcus Smart than Kyle Lowry.
No, I think Marcus Morris, he's a great player. I think he's still, like Pat Riley said, he need to take his fat ass to the weight room, lose some of that weight, so he won't be so injury prone and, you know, towards the end of the year. But I think just Kyle Lowry is just not the type of player they need. They still need someone that can replicate what Marcus Smart is giving you, like that 10 to – it could be sporadic from 10 to 15, 15 to 20. But I think they still need – I don't think Kyle Lowry can give you that right now.
I agree. Our last topic was predictions for next season.
Yeah.
Where will the Warriors and Celtics stand? I think looking at the Eastern Conference, talk about the Celtics first, I don't know if they have enough to overcome a healthy, gelling Brooklyn. And I don't know if you noticed or not, but Brooklyn got their work cut out for them this summer. They got a couple of pieces on their roster that would be free agents.
Yeah.
But if we was talking about a Brooklyn with the same roster they have right now, I think over time, adding Ben Simmons, Patty Mills, all those Drummond, all those guys, if they can spend a whole season together healthy and gelling together, I think Brooklyn would be a favorite going into next season. I think Philly, even though they can never get over the hump, they always a threat. Miami is always a threat. And Bucks, with Middleton returning, they will be a threat. So I don't think the Celtics have enough on their team to overcome those teams when healthy. But that's what makes the NBA playoffs so great is – one, injuries. So who can stay healthy? Normally the healthiest team usually overcome tough battles. And two, which role players can step up to help the superstars? When healthy, I don't think the Celtics will make it back out the East. As far as the Warriors have a good core. The conversation going on right now is, do they get rid of Wiggins? Do they get rid of Wiseman? Do they invest the money? Because Jordan Poole going to be looking for an extension soon. I think Gary Payton is going to be a free agent. I mean, they got some serious considerations as well. But I think Wiggins, there's two ways you can look at Wiggins. Wiggins has now put enough value in himself to trade him and go get a huge piece. Or Wiggins has proved that he's that missing role player that you needed to win another championship. But when healthy and if the roster stay the same, I think the Warriors will be back in the Western Conference Finals. I don't know yet how will the Lakers pan out, because I think the Lakers will be favorites. Will be one of the favorites next season coming out the West. So I don't know how the Lakers will pan out as far as their roster and how healthy they will be. But I think the Warriors will be back in the Western Conference Finals. I just don't know against who yet. I think a healthy Lakers, I think it will be the Lakers. And I honestly don't know who will win that matchup.
All right, so I'll start with the Celtics first in the East. I think you keep the Celtics roster. The roster stays the same. I think the Celtics can be right back in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think that another year, you know, they're going to learn from their mistakes. And one thing too, Robin Williams wasn't healthy. He wasn't healthy for majority of it, and you see what he can do in just little spurts. I think another season with him, because one thing I saw from the game,
Klay wasn't healthy either, though, 100%.
Yeah, for sure on that end. But just with Robin Williams, one thing I think with him, another year, something he needs to work on is his hands. And I don't know if it was because of the injury last or just these playoffs, but every time they was looking like they was trying to get him the ball, he was just like fumbling. That was, you know, some of their turnovers too. So I think him working on his hands, catching, and having some type of low post threat down low will help the Celtics out tremendously. Because I think they're going to be able to keep on with him. I think the with the Nets, I think, are going to be fine with because I think all signs point towards them resigning Kyrie. I think Ben Simmons, they're going to be able to work that out, and they're going to be in the gym together. KD, he just came off averaging 30 for the season. I think he's going to be perfectly back fine. So I just think with that three, that core three of full seasons of work, or not Kyrie just missing out of the games, because like Kyrie, the Nets was number one in the East until KD went down. And then when that was when they went all the way down to 10, then you got KD coming back off an injury, a significant injury, missing a bunch of time, and now he got to play 40 minutes a night just to will them. I think that, you know, kind of impacted him going into the playoffs and then just playing that Celtics defense. So I think, you know, the Nets are going to be fine. Don't matter who's on the team as far as the role players, because I think all the other players are, you know, expendable. Like you can find someone. Blake Griffin, he didn't really give you much. LaMarcus Aldridge didn't even play. Patty Mills, you know, as great as he was, he kind of cooled off towards the end of the season, especially when they lost to James Harden, and then you had an in and out Kyrie. I think a lot of minutes with him kind of did him in, but I think if you resign him, you have Kyrie full time, he can still definitely give you production. But other than that, you know, they'll find the players and free agents to plug up the holes. I just think with that trio, they are going to be, they should be in Eastern Conference Finals, and I still will have them against the Celtics. I think when it comes down to it, I still think I'll take the Nets, even though what the Celtics just did to them this playoff, I think I'll still take the Nets to come out the East just for right now. They are the second favorites to win the NBA championship next season in Vegas. So I think Bucks, you know, it's going to be another season. You know, I think with them losing PJ Tucker really kind of did them in. And that's just a type of player you just don't lose. So they got to find that player again. So they got to see what they got to do in free agency. They got to get better there. Chris Middleton, he didn't even have a, you know, great production season from like his past season. So he got to see if he can pick that back up for them. And I think everyone knows, you know, 76ers, we don't know what's going to be with them. We don't know what's going to be James Harden health. And B, he's injury prone. And then same with, you know, Miami. I think great team as they are, great organization as it is, how they just keep, you know, coming back and competing. They just still just seem like they just missing another player from actually winning.
They are. They need somebody better than Jimmy.
Yeah, I think I don't even think just someone comparable to Jimmy. Like if they had a Paul George on the team, they would be good.
Paul George is better than Jimmy Butler when they're both at their peak.
I would agree with that. I definitely agree with that. Just someone like that just to help him out. Because I don't think Bam, I think Bam, just as how everyone else looks at him, I think he's overrated in that aspect. He's not that, you know, production type big like Anthony Davis or a Carl Anthony Towns, who's, you know, lesser of that. He's not that. He's just a great above average big. So just all those East teams, I think the Celtics are still favorable. I just think they just need, and which I think they will find. I think with the trend, and I'm going to say the same thing for the Warriors, but the trend now is, and the Warriors shown, you can go over the luxury tax. If you're really serious about winning, you got to go over the luxury tax. You got to be willing to pay those tax dollars and all that. You got to be willing to put all the chips on the table and go get you a player that you know that you need, that extra piece that you need, no matter how much the cost. I mean, obviously, you can't go get you another $30 million type of player, but if you could work some deal out to get, you know, some type of great piece like an Andrew Wiggins, go ahead and do that.
But the thing about going over the tax is you also got to consider the market that you're in.
That like too.
Trying to think of a low market team, like the Utah.
Yeah, like Utah definitely. Utah
better not go over that luxury tax.
They can't, but I think Boston is a big city. Boston is a big market. I think they have the dollars. I just think they kind of stubborn with it. I think they trust in what they're doing. You know, building up, and you know, drafting, trading, trading for, you know, like key role players like a Derek White and stuff like that. But you know, focusing on homegrown players like Tatum and Brown and Smart. But I think from what this team showed you this season, they showed you they can be a championship team. Like I will say, Jason Tatum, if he just played better in that series, they would have won. Because they had the defense. You know, it was still like the Warriors wasn't putting up 120 and 130. It was like, you know, around a 104 average, I think, when I looked. So the defense was kicking in. The plan, even though it was kind of wild what they was doing against Curry, letting him eat, it was still working because everyone else really didn't do too much. Like Clay, I know he had like 18, but it was like a horrible shooting 18 a lot of the time. So it's just come to say, I just think Celtics are still a championship team. They just need just a backup good role or someone like a backup who will be in the backup off the bench. He'll come off the bench, but he'll finish the game for them as a point guard. Now going to the West, I think the Warriors are in real great position again to be back in the finals. But I think just the one team I will take over them right now is, and this might surprise you, is, well, it might not, the Clippers. I think with them, the Clippers shown that as great as they were as, you know, as the season went, they didn't have Paul George for a majority of it. But I could argue that if you had Paul George, they would have won that play-in game. They wouldn't have won, you know, looking back now, they probably wouldn't have won against the Warriors who they would have to play, but they would have gave them hell of an effort. I think that's a great team, great organization. They just missing their best player right now. Get Kawhi back, I think they're going to be a top team. I still got hope in the Lakers. I think them fully healthy with Anthony Davis, they still going to be all right. But other than those two teams, I don't see anyone else that's going to come close to actually really competing for a championship. Like, I think Memphis, they still a player away. Denver, they are player away. Even though they didn't have Jamal Murray, I think you still need a little bit more to compute. Because I think Clay, even though he played bad, I think Clay is going to get, you know, full season of rest. He's going to be able to gel with the team for a full season and get back into a good swing and be productive next season. I think they're going to be able to still keep Jordan Poole. Because the Warriors not a team scared to go over the luxury tax. So I think they're still going to be able to keep the same core. You run that back, and you could be right back in the NBA Finals.
Are you trading James Wiseman, or are you keeping
him? I mean, I would, if a team is silly enough to give me a good, like a good player, a good role player, like not even a good role player, like a great player, like an Andrew Wiggins, because that's what the Warriors are probably going to be looking for. Something like that. He is a top, what, three pick. So if someone's silly enough to give them, because I don't think they need James Wiseman. They've shown they don't need James Wiseman. They had their guys, they all hustled, they all gained rebound, you know. So if you can get someone, just keep improving the model, then hey, go ahead.
Are you signing Looney back, or are you letting him go?
Looney. Like, if I can get somebody better, for no, sure.
I'm saying Looney. I think Looney is a free agent this summer. So I'm saying,
is he going to be a free agent?
Back, or you let him go?
If I could sign him to a team-friendly deal, I would re-sign him. Because he's an integral part for the team. Just the way he competed on the boards was what the Celtics needed from, like, the Grant Williams of the world. All the other bigs. Al Horford, too. As great as Al Horford played offensively, he wasn't there for them defensively and on the boards. And that's what they was lacking. So I think Kevin Looney, he's shown he could do that. He's been their Iron Man. He's been there every game. He hasn't missed a game. That's someone you can rely on. You know, he's going to give you championship defense and going to give you championship effort. I think that's someone you keep. You got to keep improving the model.
Are you scared of the Suns?
No, I'm not. I wasn't even sold on the Suns. And I don't know if I told this to you personally or what, but I said before the playoffs, if the Mavs catch the Suns, the Mavs was going to whip up on them because they can't nobody guard Luka Doncic. And that's another team, too. I forgot to add them. The Mavs, especially with them getting Christian Wood, I think that's an excellent pickup, a low stakes, high reward deal, because he's going to be on a – this is a one-year contract after this. So with he got to play. He's going to have to show effort for them to get a bigger contract. And I think him, Luka Doncic, he's going to get the best out of Christian Wood. Like, he was already, like, just in those games without James Harden, like, he was giving you, like, 30 and 10. Like, that is desperately what the – he's not going to give you 30 and 10, obviously, for the Mavs. But if he can give you a close to 18 to 20 and 10, And just the way that Luka can dominate a game, pairing him with a guy like Jalen Brunson, who's shown his own. Tim Hardaway Jr. is going to be coming back, a very capable scorer, something that they was missing in the playoffs. Dinwiddie, they still got all those guys locked up. So I think the Mavs can be right back too as another team in the West Finals. I think Luka's going to get way better. He's already improving. He improves every season. And I think just the next step for him is just getting better defensively. And I think he was taking those steps this season, even though it didn't show it so much in the playoffs. Like this season, he had a gradual step of playing better defense. So it's just him getting better. I think the Mavs are going to be in good position too.
Okay.
But it's tough. It's tough though. Like you said, fully healthy when the Lakers and Clippers play, it's tough to say. It's tough to say if the Warriors can make it back to the championship, but I think just with them, I think Jordan Poole is going to get better. I think Gary Payton, he's going to get better. If they resign him, I think they can keep all. I think the Warriors are going to be able to keep these players. And if not, if they can flip them, they've shown they could do that too. They flipped D'Angelo Russell for Andrew Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins was the second best player, so. I think the Warriors are scary. I think teams need to look out for the Warriors again, repeating. I don't Curry's not slowing down. Draymond show he's not probably gonna be a you know great offensive player throughout the regular season, but he showed in the playoffs he is a clutch performer. Just like this man was hitting threes last night. Threes, middies. Like I'm just like, yeah, he's locked in.
He still only finished with like 10 points, isn't it?
Yeah, like he's like. Those all those shots that he hits was like big body weight blows to like the subs. It was like, because I remember, especially that midi, I think that was exactly one of the ones like subs was trying to go on a run when they got it like down to like nine. And then Draymond hit that mid, it was just they just couldn't overcome it.
I knew the Celtics was in trouble last night when Draymond hit that three.
Yes,
the first one. I said, they in trouble. And I think, you know, ESPN got a stat for everything. Mm-hmm. Now, I think there was a stat that I seen months ago last year where they said, like, every game, I believe it is, that every finals game that Draymond hits a three in, the Warriors win. It was something crazy like that.
I could believe it because he's just that much of an impact player. Like, he's already giving you, like, all NBA championship defense. But if he just giving you like whatever he can offensively, then yeah, you in for a long night.
And I'll never forget that game seven against Cleveland Cavaliers and he had like 35. They still lost, but he had 35.
Oh yeah, no, he hooped that game. And yeah, that was
we ain't never seen another Draymond like that again.
Nope. That's mm-hmm. long gone. He won't do it ever again. But I think Clay got to get his ego online, man. Because the shots he was taking, like, throughout the run, like, they are lucky the Celtics was able to capitalize. Because that fourth quarter, when they started off and they was only down nine, and Clay was in, and Curry was, like, taking a break on the bench, it was nothing but just Clay just, you know, just throwing up jumpers. All off foot, ain't nothing set, like, just, and they all bricks.
Let's not act like Klay ain't the second greatest shooter of all time.
No. Like I said, he will get back better. But I think it's a little bit of truth to
because Klay hit some big shots last night as well.
He did, but I think it's just a little bit of truth to him being a little jealous of Jordan Poole and all the attention that he was getting when
Jordan Poole still can't shoot better than Klay
for sure. But what Jordan Poole showing you is. He might not be he's not Curry or Clay, but he can replicate them.
And this is a bold statement. This is a very bold statement. But there was times in these past couple of games where I'm like, leave Jordan Poole ass on the bench.
There was
times where I'm like, the Warriors' best five was Clay, Steph, Wiggins, Draymond. And sometimes Looney and sometimes Gary Porter. Payton.
Oh, yeah, Payton too, yeah.
Porter, no, don't get me wrong. I think it was game four. I believe Porter played some big minutes defensively and helped him out. But, like, I'm talking about when they go on runs, where they're getting stops defensively and turning those stops into points. A lot of them times, Payton is in that lineup.
Oh, yeah.
Or Looney is in that lineup.
For sure. I just think he definitely has some bad moments, but, man, Jordan Poole, well, he can give you off that bench sometimes. That man like a firecracker, man. Like he's hitting shots like Curry out there, like deep threes. It's demoralizing. He getting to the rack on you. He's shaking on you. You know he's showing off. Like that man, he can just give him another season, let him lock in, keep him in a rotation. You know, he got no ego. He's fine coming off the bench. However, they're gonna work it out in the future. But Clay, I think it was a little bit of ego. I think he was a little jealous of Jordan Poole.
Oh my God!
I think he was a little jealous of Jordan Poole, man. Because Jordan Poole was, you know, he was getting some buzz now.
I guess. Some buzz.
And what I've come to know, what I've come to see from all of these players, all athletes, all y'all are sensitive. all these guys are sensitive because I was listening to some of the press conferences, like Curry, like this man, he was tired of the Finals MVP talk. He was tired of, he tried to play all coy, but as soon as he got the chance, oh, yeah, like, people say I couldn't do this or this and that. Clay, he was going off some guy said strength in numbers, and he took it as a little slight. Like, he's saying guys are bums. Like, these guys are sensitive. All these athletes are sensitive. But it's cool. It's you know, it will drive them. I ain't hating on it, but these guys are sensitive.
But they make good points, though.
They make good points for sure.
Because Klay Thompson's point was, man, you ain't never even been to the finals.
For, yeah.
You get one little win, man.
And for sure. But they take all this talk to heart. They be listening to the media. However they want to act like they don't care about the media, they be listening.
Yeah, they do. For sure.
They hear every news. So I just – Klay, he was hearing all that news about Jordan Poole being a new Splash Bro, Lethal Weapon 3, Splash, Pool Party, whatever they want to say. He was like, all right, bet. Let me put up shots to remind you, but they was all bricks. But yeah. I think that's pretty much everything. That's all, we covered everything. It was a great NBA Finals. Still, I think I miss seeing Boston in the Finals. They crowd is different. It's just some sport teams that when you see their crowd, it's different. It hits different. Like, just think about it. The Bucks last season, Phoenix and the Bucks last season, like, they crowds was like, they had some good crowds, but they not like Boston and the Warriors crowds.
But could that be because of how much you go to the finals? Like, let's look at a Warriors crowd from like 15 years ago. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's not the same crowd that's there now.
Yeah,
that's
for sure.
They're winning program. So if the Suns go to the NBA Finals 3 years in a row, or the Bucks go to the NBA Finals 3 years in a row, their crowd, their home court advantage will increase as well.
I think it's just like that and just the history too. Like, just histories of teams too. It's just some teams that, like, when they back into a championship situation, like, you know, their crowd will be better. Like, I know for a doubt, if the New York Knicks was to get to the NBA Finals, they would have a way better crowd than the Milwaukee Bucks would ever have.
But I think part of that too is arena space. Isn't like Madison Square Garden like one of the biggest arenas?
That too. Yeah, but just like
you can fit more people in there.
But would you say, because this is my thing, this is what I'm going off is, they're way more passionate. Like, you know, Boston is a sports town. That's nothing but a sports town right there.
Yeah, that's true. I get what you're saying.
Though. Yeah, like Knicks, like they supposed to be, like, it's definitely a sports town too. And they definitely got the history too. Like, they are passionate fans. They care about their sports. Bucks, it's like, not that they don't care about their sports, but they ain't grow up like with the Milwaukee Bucks being like some great all, you know, team. Lakers, they wasn't able to play their championship when they won recently because they was in the bubble. But if they were to play in the NBA Finals, that would be a crazy crowd.
That's right.
It's just certain teams though. Maybe Pistons too, because they got a little bit of history and we know how Pistons fans are, you know. definitely, I think they would count as another sports town, sports city. But yeah, that's it. Another great pod. Love having you on.
If you, I mean, this is like super, super early. So
okay,
it's probably hard to answer this question. But if you had to guess on a blockbuster trade this summer, what big name will be involved? Whether you can name a big name team or a big name player will be involved.
I got a few guys in mind that I think this might be the season that they start making some moves. I think we're going to see Bradley Beal move. I think it's about time he leave the Washington and try to get on a winning team. A team that really needs him.
Remember, like 2 or 3 years ago, he was supposed to go to the Heat and he backed out or something like that.
Yeah, like it's like he talking about he care about Washington and stuff like that. It's like you see how the Heat organization is, and we see how Washington is. I'm not trying to say he was just wanted to put up a stats guy, but some guys care about more things than others. It's just the truth. So I think he's a guy. I want to hope that James Harden don't get moved again. I don't want to see James Harden on another team. But can I see Tobias Harris? Sixers maybe moving him to get like a better piece. And a couple, you know, some of their young players like Shea Milton or whatever they can to get someone else. I can see that.
They announced that. I think they announced that yesterday, or somebody put that on Twitter yesterday. That it's like 4 or 5 of them on the trading block for Philly.
Right. Yeah. Like them, I think Sixers, I think they know they need to make a move. They need to hurry up and maximize this championship opportunity they have with players like James Harden and Embiid, who are both injury prone. I think Gobert is another name that's probably going to end up moving him or Donovan Mitchell. I think the Jazz, they got to seriously make a, you know, do they want to keep Donovan Mitchell here and rebuild around him, make it into a more offensively, like they are a great offensive team, but they need more. They definitely need more. They definitely need more wing players to be a more all around sound team, because they just can't rely on just one player to be their whole defense and Rudy Gobert, because he's a great defense. He's a very great defensive player, but he just cannot be a whole defensive option, because in the playoffs, everybody was going by Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley. Like even Brunson and them, Dinwiddie was doing the boys in bad. So I think Utah, they got to seriously make a decision there if they're going to seriously rebuild around Gobert and Mitchell, or if they're going to move away Mitchell, like how a lot of people are speculating, like he might end up getting moved to the Knicks or the Heat. So those are a couple guys I got in mind. I think everyone else, it's probably going to be a couple little small, good, like small, not in a, like a player we don't care about, but like as a not up to the level, like a Christian Wood type of deal here and there are going to come out. I just can't think of who right now.
Gotcha.
Maybe, another one of DeAndre Ayton. I think the Suns are going to have to seriously make a decision on them, because they've been supposed to re-sign them when they could, and now this guy's asking for money, and you see what he gave you. It was we heard that he quit in the NBA Finals. Monty Williams said that he quit or something like that. So I think the Suns, they got to make a decision there. So that's another player to watch out for.
Gotcha.
All right. Well, love having you on. Hopefully, you know, we could talk about – probably next couple of weeks, we're going to get some big offseason moves. So we're definitely going to have you back on to talk about that. So,
yes, sir. I always appreciate you hitting me up about joining the podcast. Always love my time on there.
I love talking about NBA analysts, man, for sure, man. But all right, it's been real.
We got to get you more in tune to college basketball next season, so we can.
I'm going to try.
I just know college basketball is sometimes hard just because the amount of games, the amount of teams, the time schedule, like it's like a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday type deal. So I know college basketball is definitely hard to follow, but
yeah,
I mean it's nice when you can follow it, and then when you get to March Madness, have like real conversation.
Yeah. It's very compelling action. Real quick, who you think is going to be the number one draft pick?
I don't know. I struggle every year with picking the number one draft pick, just because a lot of times I feel like people pick it based on on stock and team not need. Was yeah, not
I'm trying to think. I think the Magic got the number one pick. Was it the Magic?
I go check real quick.
I want to say it is the Magic.
Yep, Orlando Magic got number one.
Okay, so they got a lot of guards. So I think you know, like I said, Pablo, Chet. I don't know. It's gonna be tough. I know it was another team. I think Houston's up there too high.
Let's see. Orlando, OKC, Houston, yeah. Sacramento, and Detroit.
I think Houston is definitely trying to target. I saw a piece that they was targeting either Pablo
or they was trying to target like Banchero, I think.
Yeah, so they try to get rid of Christian Wood and make room for him on the front court. But I'm running out of time, so I got to let you go. But definitely going to have you back on next time. You've been listening to the What's On Your Mind podcast. I'm your host, Dre, and catch you next time.
All right, brother.
All right.